He said they've got people in the press. They've got people in every phase of the law enforcement. They own all kinds of land. We've got to destroy them. We've got the witnesses, I tell you. We've got the witnesses. He collaborated with operators. Three telephone operators in Bell Telephone monitored our phones night and day for 2 months. We've got the witnesses. It's written testimony, and if somebody wants to sue me, then we'll put out a deposition, and we'll have the biggest court case you ever saw in your life. And I don't think Ma Bell wants that, so she'll probably let me have to say what I've got to say. Because she would look pretty bad when three of her workers that are supposed to be paid to be putting long-distance calls in are doing nothing more than listening to my Jewish attorney that was healed of cancer here when he was dying, and listening to the assistant district attorney who was a member of my church, and listening to my phone 24 hours a day. And Ken Salving says, we've got to crush them. That's what he said the first day. Said, they won't do anything. They're gentle people. But just the week before, I said, we'd had enough. That's when the change came. It was just the week before. If he'd have come 2 weeks before, he might have had a chance. But I said, I've turned the last cheek of my butt, and there's no more cheeks. I've wore out of cheeks. I said, the next one that bothers us, they better be prepared for a fight. So what happened? We marched ourselves down here to the Hearst Press, the great big capitalist press, the rich man's press, and I mean poor little old people, us poor little old people, black and brown and poor white. We got our placards and we marched around Jericho's walls, and I said, I'm going to meditate that their papers will burn and 240,000 of their newspapers burned down right inside the building. And we marched. I had them down there 98. I had them down there 100. I had them down there in their 80s and 90s, and we didn't stop marching till those editors come down and said, when are you going to stop? We said, we're going to stop when you quit lying on us. And so that night, they pulled out Ken Salving's article. If we'd have prayed and got on our knees and say, pray for those that despitefully use you, Ken Salving would have destroyed us. He would have kicked us in the ground. He'd have stomped on us. Our land would be gone now. We would all have been divided. We would have fled because he would have stirred up more wrath. But we said, we've had enough. And now we've said it even further. Take us on anymore, and you're going to have more than just a march. Now, I did not mean to express myself at such length, but I thought I should tell you why I believe what I believe, then you can be free to express why you believe what you believe. I accept that which works. All things that are true, try the Spirit. Try a principle. If it works, then it's of God. If it's good, use it. But the principle of turning the other cheek, you can use that once. I'm all for it. And I say, if you see a fight, avoid that fight at all costs. Soft answers will turn away wrath many times. And you should try every bit you can. You should exactly go a few extra feet. I don't say you go 2 miles. Jesus said when they asked you to go 1 mile, bearing the Roman slave master's pack, go 2. Well, my dear, we've been carrying the slave master's pack for 2,000 years. Now we say it did not work, and we won't carry his pack not even one teensy-weensy damned inch. Peace. Martin said to me when he was on my pulpit when I was the governor's commissioner and had to give it up because nobody can be in this political system today and be honest. He said to me, I find my nonviolence much tested. But he said, if we would begin to fight, they'd kill us all. And I said, and you know what I said. I said, Martin, they're going to kill you anyway. I prophesied, in fact, the exact time of his going. I urged him to take certain advice. His wife seemed to know more about what he should do in those days. And even today, she seems to know more. Dr. Abernathy's had to resign. The Southern Christian Leadership Conference has been taken over by this ignoramus in Chicago. And I'm with the Muslims in that and fighting that push and that Jesse Jackson. He's a honky version of black capitalism. Black capitalism is not going to save us. No, no. They'll just change the crooks. We don't need more of this capitalism. We need some socialism. We need some liberation. We need some equality. Peace. That's why I say there's so many points I could agree with these people on. Why can't we get down and reason together so we can unite across this nation? Say, well, you're God. Who would we look to? You could still look to me if I look to somebody else. That's what makes me God. I'm willing to bend. I'm principled. I want to get a job done. I'd carry somebody's coat to get this freedom movement on the road. But I can't find anybody that'll do the same with us. Had a man here on Thursday, a good doctor, head of a psychiatric association. I said a few questions to him, and he treated me uncivil. But I just turned around and ate a little bit of his crap. That's the only way I could get along with him. He said, I don't want to talk to you, he said. Because he was aiming at you. He said, I want to talk to your people. Because he made a remark to one of our people. He said, these people will join my movement. He didn't know a thing about it. He thought he could come in here and get these people to join his movement. He was so silly. He was so silly. He didn't know how knit together we were. But anyway, what did I do after he was rude to me? And I was his guest. I was giving him money to help with the work that he was doing. And it's a good work. You know what he's representing? They're cutting on black brains now in the University of California. He gave us proof of the people's heads that are being drilled through just to experiment on them. And they're mostly black and always poor. They're giving drugs that they don't know a thing about. They may cause cancer to alter human behavior. Hundreds and hundreds. The publisher that belongs to our temple in Los Angeles that owns the Herald Dispatch, she said that she has 1,600 cases, legitimate, documented, that she has 1,600 cases where they have experimented on blacks in nursing homes, taken them out against their will. They were on welfare. So he was doing a good job. What did I do? What did I do Wednesday night before your eyes? I just ate his crud. I said, all right, sir. I backed off and ate it because I would go the extra mile to have an alliance with anyone. He's got a big ego, but still he's doing a right work. Most doctors, they won't do anything but work for that Cadillac. You're just a little piece of... You're nothing. They look at you, they don't hardly even look at you. I sent one of our sisters the other day to a doctor because she doesn't have the full consciousness of faith in me. You've got to have a lot of it to get me to work. I don't mean as a friend. I'll fight for you. I go to court whether you like me, if you just call me old Uncle Jim. Went to the court, had a great miracle today. Young woman got out and she confessed to her crimes. I told her to confess to her crimes and she committed more crimes than you want to talk about. And the police said, who sent you here, Jones? They let her out. And you certainly see our sister over here, our Mexican sister, who her husband was trying everything under the sun to do. He beat her with the Bible and bruised her with his Christianity. Talked about blacks in those derogatory terms. So she took his Bible and set it afire. She's standing over there. There she is. She was also, by the way, paralyzed with a stroke, and I healed her. She also had a cancer, and she was healed. But anyway, this is immaterial to the situation. She believes in me with a childlike faith, and I want to get a message across tonight. I usually do more healings, but I want to get a message across. We'll get to the healings. You've got to get an understanding to get the healing. I told this woman several phrases that she must say in the courtroom. He was going to accuse her of being insane, trying to burn down his house, even his children. He was a liar. He threatened us. He threatened her attorney, an attorney friend that works with our legal attorneys that are in the church. He was going to expose us. And I said, you say these words and he won't get a thing said. And she said them. She went in there with her mind to say just exactly what I told her to do. She believed in me. And he got up on the court stand without his attorney and got up and says, I'll give you $200. His attorney jumped up and said, what are you talking about? You're not supposed to give her. You've only got $350. He says, I'll give you $200. After he got through and the court was over, they said he was biting at himself because he didn't know why he had done it. I know why I'd done it because I said he'd do it. I mean, he did not even get up with his attorney's advice. He got up against his attorney's advice and kept on talking. He couldn't stop. Said, I'll give her 200. I'll give her 200. Because she said the words that triggered him to say, I'll give her 200. I'll give her 200. But I sent a sister to a doctor who didn't have so much faith in me. And she'd been to 3. I said, I don't think it's enough. Been going to these outpatient clinics. She said, I'd like to believe, Father, but they say you're God. I can't understand that. I said, well, do you believe I got power to heal? She said, well, when I get healed. I said, you got to have faith before you get healed. Well, I sent her, and they found a malignancy, fortunately, that we can deal with. They're able to isolate it and do some radium therapy. 3 doctors missed it. Today, most doctors are concerned about making a buck. Most doctors are just like lawyers, the greatest parasites in America. And I say it in the front of the one that I healed of cancer, the greatest parasites in America are lawyers. They live off of other people. They cause squabbles. And if it was a society, a just society, like the ancient tribal collective, the Indian society, a socialist society, you wouldn't need any lawyers because the people could settle their own affairs. So lawyers are parasites. They like to make a buck, except for the few that have got converted. I may be talking, maybe, but I don't stop listening. I had a revelation on something. I know those who are here, and I know those who aren't here. Anyhow, I want to say to you that the principle I'm trying to get across to your mind is to use that which will work for you. And if you can find anything that will work better, then go to it. You say you're going to believe in your Bible. How are you going to believe in your Bible when it's completely full of confusion? I could say other words, but it might embarrass you. But confusion certainly is applicable. It is full of confusion. You don't know where Jesus was born. You don't know what happened to him on the cross. You don't know what he took when he died. You don't know how long he was in Egypt, if he ever went to Egypt. You don't know where he did his miracles. His miracles change. Every story, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they don't say one story the same. Not one story is the same. Don't tell me. Don't shake your head at me, honey. You better read that Bible. You better read it before you start shaking your head. We're here because we have found something that works. We are here because we have found a Father that will go into the courts and will fight for us. Not one of us have ever gone to jail that I have not had out in a matter of minutes. My sister last week, when she was losing her home over there, Sister Younger, she didn't have to go to the bank. She didn't have to plead. She didn't have to go to real estate and get on her knees. I said, how much are your back payments? I think I told her what they were. I think I told you the exact amount, what it was, $400, and I paid it. I didn't make it come out of the sky. I didn't tell her to go to Jesus. I paid it and saved her house. When Sister Jackson was here on Wednesday night, with her son being held in a jail like a bond slave, they still do that to blacks in some jails, going to hold him a month unless they got $100 debtors pay. I got that money that moment. When Sister Robinson had her money stolen by religious relatives, all of her month's wages gone this last week, I'm talking about 1 week, I saved it. When Sister Tyrone Johnson had her daughter was being taken away from her this week, I got the money and got the court case solved. I'm talking about 1 week. If you can find anybody that will do more for you, you go to them and let me know, because I'm tired of working. I'll join you. I'm saying that for those that are guests, that you can understand why we believe what we believe. You say you're Christians. How many have died in your church lately? How many caskets have run through your temple? We've never had one in any of our temples. We're not saying that that's important. If somebody dies tomorrow, that won't change this business. We're not here because we can do something about stopping people from dying literally. We're stopping people from dying mentally, That's why we're here. How many people have passed growths or tumors or cancers in this assembly? How many have been healed, like Sister Cunningham up here, of crippling paralysis? How many paralyzed or strokes? Yes. Strokes. How many have been healed of other incurable diseases? Now, I'm saying to you, what is it? Glaucoma, yes. You ever know anybody that healed anybody of glaucoma? It's an incurable eye disease. We have 100 or so in our record that we know of. We don't try to keep records, but 100 that are healed. One Muslim brother in Los Angeles, completely gone. His glaucoma completely gone. I just came by, and blood came from my hand, and I touched him, and his eyes were healed instantly, as were 80 others that day healed of one form of blindness. On the TVs, I think we had, or last Sunday, wasn't it, some sister blind clear to the back of the building. She was in her 80s. Couldn't see in front of her nose. She counted every finger and told everything I had and went away. She was also crippled. She'd been crippled with a paralytic stroke, and that was cured. There wasn't a trace left of it. We have less die, and we sure have less in jail, being that we don't have one of our members in jail. Because if they come, and we've been in it, babies, you've heard people talk about what they'll do, but the cops came once when I raised this woman over here. She needs to be raised from her sleep now. She's sleeping. That's all right. I want her to sleep. She's a good soul. Pinky. But she was dead. She had a stroke, and she was dead. Stand up, Sister Pinky, so they can see an idol of truth, a representative of truth. They took her. I prophesied that day, didn't I? I said, don't go out in the streets. I said, there'll be trouble in the streets. I said, don't go out. We'll have trouble in the streets. There'll be a riot in the streets. Don't go out. And I said, don't get an ambulance, no matter what I heal. But all the registered nurses, they forgot it. When I healed her and brought her back, and she was stiff on her side, everyone can testify, she was laying out on the bench, couldn't get any vital signs. I worked with her for 10 minutes. And then I got her healed, but they checked, like I tell everyone, go to a doctor. They forgot that this day I said, don't go. Because I don't believe if your healing won't hold up by science, it's not worth anything. I say, go and have a check. But that day I said, don't get an ambulance. Well, they got an ambulance. And I never saw such a mean bunch in my life. That fire department of Los Angeles was the meanest, most racist bunch I've ever seen. It was right after that I said, I'm going to elect a black mayor. And we got a black mayor down there. Anyway, I said, don't go, but they took her, and I mean they took her and kicked her, and called her nigger, and everything else. Some of my people run out to protect her, and I said, oh, well, my people are out there, I'm going out there, and I mean when we got out there, they'd called the police, the helicopters were over us, machine guns set on us, they were going out with bullet clubs, they struck down one of my sons, they struck him down, they were hitting women, they were arresting my people right and left. And I knew then I didn't dare fight. I just went through. I said, you are wrong. You are wrong. You are wrong. I never touched a soul because I knew they were just waiting for me. I said, you are wrong. I told my people to keep quiet because in that particular moment, they wanted an excuse to murder every one of us. Anyway, they obeyed. But beforehand, one of the brothers who has a government post here, who is the director of a large governmental commission, he happened to hit a policeman who was calling bad names and doing terrible things, broke his nose. Laid the policeman's nose clear over here on his side of his face. Blood was flowing down the policeman's face, and he wanted to kill somebody so bad he didn't know what to do. They took him to jail. They said, we're going to keep him there. We'll teach you people a lesson. They charged him with felonies, assault, with a deadly weapon. One of my brothers had a gun. I told him not to have guns on them. But he had a gun. And I had, the man says, ah, he's got a gun. Then the next second, the gun was gone. These are documented facts. If you don't believe this, you can go check the records in the police department and see. They're still looking for that gun. Here was a holster, here was the bullets, but the gun was gone. They grabbed him, but the moment they grabbed him, my spirit grabbed that gun. Well, they took him down there, and they arrested my good wife, who couldn't even join the Muslims, though she's mixed too in her racial background, but she's got a light skin and light hair. She can't join the Muslims. But she went down there, she got a hold of one of those policemen. They said, "You can't touch me," and she touched him anyway. And they took her away from our black son and took her away in chains. Took away Brother Jackson, another government worker, never been arrested before. Brother Brown, never been arrested before. My wife, in all of her years, never been arrested before. And they took her to jail, and I went down to get them. And the moment I got there, they arrested me. They put me in handcuffs and sent me back there and says, we'll see what we can do with you people. Put me in the jail, and they put the handcuffs on me, and then put a thing on my leg and chained me to the bar. They must have believed I was a little bit God. I said, "Now what are you going to do about that?" I said, "I don't know what you're going to do about it, but I'm going to go to sleep." I laid down, they fixed it all up too. They had blood on the cell, you know, they'd just beaten some poor person. They thought they'd scare me, that blood. I laid right down the middle of it, put my arm under my head. I got me about 5 seconds of sleep, I guess. I guess it wasn't much longer than that, because when they back comes somebody and says, I heard him say this. He said, "We got some kind of fool in here. We got some kind of fool in here." This one officer said, "I abridge you of your rights." I said, "I know my rights." He said, "You can get out if you've never been arrested on your own recognizance." I said, "Oh, no." I said, "Black and Indian people never get out on their own. They always have to bail." I said, "Even though I've got the means to get out and the wherewithal, and I have a name, and I've been a government leader, I'm not coming out." I said, "I'm waiting on my trial." "Well," I said, "you damn fool, that will be 6 weeks." He says, "We'll have to keep you 6 weeks." I said, "That's your problem. I'm going to sleep." Now, that's almost exactly what I said. But it wasn't long, he brought back somebody else, and he said, "You mean you're staying in here?" He said, "We've had many people who wanted to get out, but we've never had anybody want to stay in." I said, "I'm staying in until every one of my people are free." I said, "I'm going to be not let go on my recognizance. I'm not going to be bailed out of here. I'm staying here. You've arrested me wrongly, and I'm going to stay here until I have a trial before the people." And I said, "If that costs Los Angeles $1 million, I don't care, because," I said, "it'll be a long, long trial." Now, I want you to know they had my brother Jackson, he's standing back there, and Brother Brown. They had him on assault and battery and with a deadly weapon, and I don't know what all they had him. Inciting a riot, everything in the world. We practically done it, and breaking a policeman's nose, and no one intended to, but he got in front of that door when I wanted my sister out of that ambulance. And by the way, the other miracle, they had her locked up in the ambulance, and then after the fight was over, they looked in the ambulance with the door shut, and she was gone. You never saw policemen so red-faced in all your life, because there wasn't a black one amongst them. They were all white. They were all white in that police force. But they were red-faced. Here they had a man that was supposed to have a gun. The gun was gone. They had a woman. They didn't even know what they were fighting over, because I had her. She was gone. The officer said, "Will you tell me one thing? Where did that old woman go?" All I said to him, I said, "That old woman is younger than she looks. She's a fast runner." I just played with him, and so a little bit later, back comes the head of the police. He said, "Now, Reverend, you know we've had a mistake here." I said, "Yes, you have." I said, "I want us all these charges dropped." Oh, he said, "Couldn't do that." I said, "That I want them all dropped." And what happened? They all got dropped, and they let us all go. And my name's not even on the record. They didn't even arrest me. They didn't even get my fingerprints. They put me in chains. They were so scared of me. They put me in chains before they got my fingerprints. Well, it's just to show you that we stick by each other. Now, if you know a group that'll do more, but you see, if you've got a group that's buying Cadillacs for its preacher, buying Rolls Royces for its preacher, they won't have as much money in the legal fund. But tonight, if you need a lawyer, there'll be two or three. We've got a black sister, and there's a Jewish brother here that's a lawyer, and our assistant DA that'll be downstairs to talk to you about your needs. Now, don't bring us up about Aunt Jane. If Aunt Jane belongs in the Baptist church and's giving some jackleg preacher her money, don't bother us with Aunt Jane. A whole lot of folk come in here. You guys, I see you in here tonight, a few of you. You've got, your arthritis has got more than you could bear. You saw me in January, and then you went back to your Baptist church after I touched you a little bit. Now your arthritis has got back, naturally, sitting under the mess you're sitting under. So now you come wandering back in here, and you want to get a healing so you can go back and sing in the choir for another 6 months. Assistant Mayor looked out over the meeting today, and my, didn't he say things. He said socialism compared this collective to socialism in the purest Soviet sense, and he talked about fascism, and he sang a song to Jim Jones. The assistant mayor looked out and he says, "Is that Wesley Johnson?" He said, "He's one of the biggest pillars in Third Baptist Church." I said, "You've not been around there lately, because he's been a pillar here as long as I can remember." He's been debating about joining. He said, "Well, if he can join, then I can join." All these people, they kill me. Well, so Wesley, you may be responsible for the mayor joining the church. Anyhow, then don't do like some do and think you're going to get our healings anymore. We've started a new chapter. You drop in here once a month, we'll give you once a month treatment. I'm not talking about my people who have to work like sister over here that works in a home night and day and weeks. I'm not talking about people of my own membership. I'm talking about you that slip around with old jacklegs, that have never built you a children's home, that have never once built one senior citizen home, and we've got four beautiful ones, and three lovely sanatoriums, and 40 acres of the primest land with a children's home on it, and all other kind of land, and a whole apartment complex. We own half of Redwood Valley City. Now, I'm telling you, we take care of our people. And you've been at the church. You're over here from Bethel. You're here from Bethel to get healed tonight. You come over here to Bethel. Bethel hadn't done anything but pay for its church and hasn't got it paid for, and hasn't paid for the preacher's car, because they're always running into one anniversary after another. We never have any preacher's anniversaries here. We don't have any preacher's birthdays here. We don't have any pastor's wives' teas here. We've got liberation meetings here every day for everybody. Now, if you want to spend your money on jacklegs while we're getting justice, when we put money to get Sister Davis free, $2,000, and I prophesied the hour she'd be released. And I stood up here when they wouldn't open that door. Right down here at this people's mess, this people's cathedral, this Catholic church that was built and tore all the housing out for poor people. I stood up on a car. I know what I did. They wouldn't let us inside that church, and I stood up on a car and I said, "We're going to get the money from our people." We came up with $2,000 to get Angela free. And I said the hour that she'd be free. Now, if you think you're going to come in here when we got Angela free, it was Billy Smith, one of his mothers in our Los Angeles church. I said the day I'd get him free, when the army had falsely charged him. And I put my people in the courtroom, and I put my people in everyone's courtroom that is associated with this temple. And if you think you're going to come in here and get me to heal you so you can go back to some jackleg so he can have a Lincoln or a Continental or a Cadillac or a Rolls Royce, you've got another guest coming, because I'm not going to heal you. Not fair. This sister here, I've got too many sisters like this. Sister, precious Sister Taylor down here. This week she spit up a cancer when I wasn't even present. Growth, they've got it. Have you got that thing in the, you got that thing in the bottle somewhere? She spit it up, just trusted me when she was choking. That's all right. It's good you got the message. Good you got the message. Some folks slipped out of the balcony, out of the lower floor. They found out, now I'm not going to heal anybody unless they join. That's right. You've come in vain. If you don't want to identify with us, after all, what you've got going? Has the mayor, assistant mayor visited you lately? I even got through to his son and healed his son when he was supposed to be crippled for life. You heard him testify for it tonight. Now, you know, a lot of you folk are afraid to come over here because you're afraid we are just not, we're not one of those establishment niggers. You don't like to come over here because I'm a field nigger.